I hope that Joel Zugerby comes, figures out where we are. We are, what'd you say, Laminov? Sounds right. Yeah, we're up to Lachi and Gimel. Vatze Yasva Vesi Mitzvah Min Chosei. Koli Me Megad Armulusayich. Now, this is what written in the Ksuva, that you will leave in my house, and you're going to be supported from my property as long as your state of widowship continues. May God means to flow or to continue. So as long as that continues, chayav. As long as that, even if you left that out of the ksuva, and we don't write into the ksuva today, but even though it's left out of ksuva, chayav, you're liable for the shutanai basin. So basically means, Lot's husband dies, even though the wife doesn't inherit him, the widow gets to live in the house for as long as she remains unmarried to somebody else. Okay? Now, I didn't look it up, but I'm not sure. I always read this word megar, and I don't know which means to live as an almana, but I think I probably read it wrong all these years. I didn't look up in the Bavli if it's spelled megar or megar there. But now I assume it's also spelled may God there, and I just never noticed. And it means, again, to flow. Anyway.
Now, what if the children
So Rabbi Zira Rav Nachman Yaakov. Rabbi Zira asked Rav Nachman Yaakov and Rav Avinu Bar Papi, Loya Shem Bais. What if there was no house there? Okay? Similar idea. So he said, Yoshim Sorchel Abais. They have to rent for a house. Okay, they have to rent their house. Mikan ve'elach. What if there is another? This is your question. What if there is another house there? I would not have understood the question without the carbonator, but there is a question. What if there is another house there? But she says, I want to stay in my, deceased husband's house. I don't want to go to the other house, which, you want me to go live in the, servants' quarters, whatever it was. I don't want to go. I want to stay in my husband's house. So, if that's the case, she says she wants the land. Oh, he found this. She says she wants the land where her husband lived. And he says, nah. He said, the Yisraelim say, sorry, it got too cold to stay in the side room. I figured you'd figure out where we were. Yeah. By process of elimination, you came to the conclusion, right? Okay. So, it's just till the end of the week till they start vacation here. Basically, yeah. So they say we want to pay money to rent you another house, not the house where our father lived. They're allowed to kick her out and put her into another house. They don't have to keep her in that house where they were. Kehada, like the following case. This is a complicated case. Chada Issa is a certain woman have a purna. Now most of the Farshim say means her ksuva. The Chasim Soif, the Noid Bilo ever says it's not referring to ksuva. It's referring to the Tosefet's ksuva. Because it says your ksuva is Esrim Dinar. That's much less than a regular ksuva is, right? So it means that besides her regular ksuva, whatever's coming to her, she had an additional amount written in her ksuva, 20 dinar. Vava tamun chad pais betava sora dinar. So there was a certain house that there which was worth 10 dinar available, right? So her taina was that she wanted them to buy her or rent her a house which is worth a full 20. Seems somehow, it's not clear from the Gemara how this ties up, how this looks up, but somehow the 20 dinar written into her ksuva, she claimed that she wanted a house, and it was Magiala who was coming to her house in that value. And the house there was only worth 10 zuz, right? So ask Uvda Kuk 10 dinar. So ask Uvda Kumid Rabbi Chanina. So this case came in front of Rabbi Chanina. And Omar, he said, Yivnen Le Beisa, either they should build their house, which is worth 20 zuz. Oh, you have a loch of dinar, give her the 20 dinar, or 20, keep saying 20 zuz, 20 dinar, give her the 20 dinar. That would say he agreed with her, Oyitin loch of dinar. So they agreed with, he agreed with her, Rabbi Chanina. So Ramana said, no, we came to the late space of Tav El Asara, since the house which is there is only worth 10, we command the late Sliporna El Asar. That's all her ksuba is worth. In other words, she has the right to a house. And she doesn't have the right to demand that they rent her or buy her a house which is more than the house which is there. As long as there is a house there, that's what she gets, no more, no less. Okay? So actually, less she can get. If for some reason the standard of living to which she's accustomed is less, so then the assignment can force her to go into less. But she can't demand more than whatever house is there. So Mikan Ve'elach, that's what it says. Mikan Ve'elach, Hiyome has Karka. She says she wants land. In other words, she wants a more splendid house. Very most, and we say, we're going to give you the value of what we have. I didn't even tell me we accept what the Yisraelim say. So it's a very funny Aloch. I don't know exactly how it works, but somehow the 20 extra dinar which are in the Ruxuva, go here to the correspond to the amount of housing which she gets, and she gets anything up to 20 dinar. But if somehow the Yisraelim have a house extant which is worth less than 20 dinar, even it's not the house in which she was living all this time, so that they can force her into that house. Okay? That's more or less the halacha, the way it appears here. Halacha yidal. Kachay wa anshi yushlayin koisvim. This is the way the people of Yushlayin would write the ksuva, meaning that as long as she's an almana, she gets to live in the old house. Anshi go, or some house. Anshi go, you koisvim, kachay yushlayin. In the go, they would write like in Yushlayin. Anshi yuda koisvim, yuda, they would write. She gets to live in a house until the heirs give her a ksuva. Once the heirs give her a ksuva, so then she has to leave the house. Now, in Yehuda, they left it up to the discretion of the heirs. Whenever the heirs wanted to present it with the ksuva, they were allowed to do so. That's the key difference. In Gol and Yerushalayim, it was up to her discretion. Well, if she got remarried, did she lose her rights to lodging? Otherwise, the rights to lodging remained. Okay? So therefore, in Yehuda, if the heirs want, they can give her ksuva, and kick her out. Because it's up to them.
Because the women in Yehuda were a little loose.
How does that follow? Why should you penalize them?
They're penalizing the wife, the mother, because she had a reputation before.
I don't think that's the reason, but it's cute. Okay? All right. A for creativity. The bottom line, the way you know what? Maybe you could tie it into the Gemara. What you're saying. Anche Golot says people go chosel hakvoidim. They were meticulous about their honor, because it's not honorable to kick out a widow. For lo chosel money, they weren't, even though they lost money that way, because as long as the widow was in the house, they'd have to pay for upkeep, right? The opposite, Anche Yehuda, the people of Yehuda, chosel hamamoinim. They were cared about money. The lo chosel hakvoidim, not on their honor. So they were not so dignified, right? Rabbi Chaya prayed Rabbi Avo. Rabbi Chaya said Rabbi Avo. Istar medlei b'shem Rabbi Avo. Can some say in name Rabbi Avo without Rabbi Chanina? Kesarin in Kesarin they used to write the ksuva ki Yehuda, which means to give the Yisraelim the right to kick her out. Ushakar to sell the lands were ki Yerushalayim, which means that they had no right to kick her out. Chad banach mi damach. A certain individual, as he was dying, Amar, he said, Yevun le'itasa da'u gavra, you should give the wife of that individual, meaning his wife, parna, uksuva. In other words, don't have her live in my house, just give her uksuva and let her go. We obviously didn't like her that much. As uvdo kumi rabbi mana, so this case came from Imana. Amar, he said, he's sky mundi for mace. The mace said, give her uksuva, kick her out, so you have to listen to the mace. That was his last will and testament. Amr Rabbi Chaya said, "V'yesho dom mitzvah mevatel tonight ksuva." Can a person cancel the Tanai Ksuva? Chazal made this decree that as long as the widow is alive, she should have the right to lodging if she hasn't remarried. So how can he come just because of his last will and testament and undermine that halachic principle? So it says, So the Ramana said, Rabbi Chanina, Antamart, you said this. Atminolach. How do you know this? Maybe the status here is like the status in Yehuda, that whenever the husband wants, whenever the heirs want, they can kick her out. So maybe that's why Paskin, they have Paskin. That if the husband said, give her to him and kick her out, then we give her to him and kick her out. Armelech retorted, the law of Golan Kayamin. One second, aren't we now in Golia? I don't know what city they were in, but we're now in Golia. And we're on Kayamin, Golia. The Sovri Meymar, we came to conclusion before, Achia Golia Chosak Vaidam Veloam Amoinam. The people of the Golia were specifically concerned with their honor, not with their money, and therefore we can't listen, in fact, to this dead person who commanded not to let his wife live there because the covenant is to let the wife continue to live there. Okay? New parent. Avopi, you know, tomorrow night maybe we'll try the high school basement because it is difficult for me in here. Maybe tomorrow we'll try the high school basement. Did you notice it was cold in there when you walked in? Yeah, how would you notice, right? Wear a ski mask. Okay, Avopi Shomru. Besula Gaiva Masai Mamana Mana. Even though they said, a woman the first time around gets $200. Vamona mona and Amona gets $100. Imratz alaisiv, if the husband wants to add on to the ksuva, afilu mea mona, even $100, liosif. He can add as much as he wants. And we're going to talk about this in the Gemara in some detail. Nisalmola and Nisgarsha, when she gets widowed or divorced, Bamin Arison, whether they're only betrothed, Bamin Arison, and of course if they're fully married, Koves Hako. She collects everything. Not just the 100 or 200 doraisa, but also whatever the husband added on to her ksuva. Okay? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah married, no, not always. Minani suin goyves hakol. Ultimately, you're going to pass Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. If she was fully married, then she gets everything. The 100 or 200, whatever was coming to her doraisa, plus whatever the husband added on. However, if Mina Erison, if he died or divorced her while they're only betrothed, then Besula Goyva Masai. If she's the first time around, she gets 200. Ma'amona Mona, second time around, she gets 100. Shlo Kasav La El Manasakota. He only wrote her these sums on the condition, on the assumption he was going to fully take her in. And therefore, since he didn't fully take her in, that's why he doesn't have to give her these additional sums. Okay? Now, the Mora asks a very interesting Lomdisha question. What makes him? I write you a document, I say, if I write you a document, I write in the document, I owe you $1,000. Does it work? No. What makes me liable to pay you the $1,000? So what? Let's be a kid. Right. If the document indicates a loan, then the loan is what requires me to pay you $1,000. But if I just promise you something in writing, that in of itself is not enough in halacha to make me required to pay you. Doesn't matter. Unless I conceded that I owe you $1,000 in front of witnesses. If I just wrote the document in front of witnesses, it's meaningless, right? So, one, a will is a gift. I distribute it. I hereby bestow X amount of property on so-and-so. It's, yeah. Okay, so Mer is Chayvlo. What makes him Chayvlo? Lokain is not Rabbi Yochanan, Rishibah, Lokish, Tarvain, Omri. They both said, it's all part of the question, I'm sorry. Lokain, Rabbi Yochanan, Rishibah, Lokish, Tarvain, Omri. Then they both say, HaKresim, Shtar, Chovah, Chavero, B'cheska, Shu, Chayvlo. If I write you a document, assuming that I owe you money, and it turns out I'm not liable, right? This is a question I just posed to you, right? If it comes out, I don't owe you money, even says sheker, so I don't have to pay you up. Promissory notes, interesting concept, you know? Promissory notes are not meaningful in halacha. That's what comes out, okay? So it says, I'll tell you. Rotsu Liten Kama. He wants to pay as much money. Of course, not paying, he's just writing to Ksuva. He stipulated that maybe he'll pay something. But he wants to put down so much, the Likoros Chasor Shaploni, and become, as we say in the yeshiva world, so and so's Eidim. It's worth his while to promise all these sums in order to become so and so's son in law. So, therefore, it doesn't spell it out here. There's a certain Hanoi, a certain pleasure, a benefit which he gets from becoming Shmerel's son-in-law, and therefore he's willing to pay money for it. Again, it's not truly paying money, but committing himself to an obligation of X amount of dollars for that. No, we can't renege. What do you mean? What were you about to ask?
Well, if she gets married to him, then they cannot renege.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So Ad Kedung Shepaskim in Erison. Okay, that I understand when he promised her the money on the condition that they for the betrothal. But what about when he only promised her the money for the actual marriage? What seals the deal there? It's already his son-in-law beforehand. What's making him liable to the additional amount which he promises for the actual marriage? Says Gemara quite bluntly and explicitly, Rotsu Liten Kama B'Tashmisha Shehu Orev. He wants to pay money to have relations with her. It's pleasant to have relations with her. So that pleasure which he has of being able to have relations with her, that's what commits him to the Ksuva. Akdum Sheba. Okay, that's true if he actually consummates his marriage. What if he dropped dead before the chuppah and the consummation? Lobal, if he never had relations with her, what makes him liable to pay? Okay? Or he divorced her before they had relations. What makes him liable to pay? Says Mara, nevertheless, it's an intangible. Rotsu Liten Kama, he wants to give money al kinyono shehosif, on the acquisition. In other words, even if he didn't actually go, you know, they do a home run. So nevertheless, he acquired her. She's his, right? So therefore, that in of itself is worth something for him, okay? So he was willing to commit for that purpose. Now, here I'm going to go like the change of Girsa. Even though I could read with the Girsa here, but I'm going to go with the Girsa of the Mashbiach. He says, lo pasak min erisin, he adds in the word lo. Look, what happens if he didn't write at the time of erisin? And lo pasak min erisin. And then right at the time of the marriage. Felikros chasano shaploni had to be called so-and-so's son-in-law, kfaru, it should be kuro. They already called him that, right? Because it's already after the fact. And then the other day, he didn't have relations. Tash mishembo. All right? He raises writing an additional amount of the ksuva where they're not having, didn't have relations yet. Kini lohosif. He didn't have any kiddie because it's after the marriage. In other words, basically we're asking if in midstream you add something to her ksuva. What's that? How does that work, right? Mikan, nevertheless, Rotsu Liten Kama. He wants to pay her more. Velo Tachserba, so she shouldn't renege. In other words, any time during the marriage, or even before the marriage for that matter, we could use the svara. Once we can remachadish the svara. Anytime he adds money to the ksuva, it's effective. Why is it effective? Because he wants to add that money in order that she shouldn't back out of the marriage. So what's the obvious question on that? How could she back out of a marriage? Once she's married, right? Says Gemara, wait a minute. Loketaiti, we learn, Ish eno motzi helurutono? A man can only divorce a woman if he wants. In other words, why does he have to placate her by offering her more money? She can't divorce him anyway, right? Says Mar, you don't understand. I'm Rabbi Yavi. Rabbi Yavi says, Me'ika hilei. She causes him anguish and grief. Make his life miserable. Who mashpik lo until he has to release her. Women have their ways. Okay? Tani. What reason is that? Not so many who show me. Tani, Kishem Shabbat Posek. Now, here actually things get even more interesting. Just like the husband can stipulate, Kacha Av Posek, so too the father can stipulate. In other words, here's the father, the husband throwing in, or the chassid throwing into his commitment to the ksuba. But the father also can throw in commitment to his dowry. And the truth is, nowadays, we do that at the Tznoim. The Tznoim are really, it's a symbolic gesture. We don't really mean anything by it. But when the Tznoim were real, so then what each side was contributing X amount to the dowry. The Chassid side was guaranteeing X amount of the possessions and property and sheep and cattle and clothing. And the Kala side was committing X amount. Okay? So this commission committing is done by both sides, right? Just like the son commits in the ksuva, the chassid commits in the ksuva, the father bride commits in the dowry, right? Tani kashem shabah posek, kacha ab posek. Just like the husband commits, so too the father commits. El shabah mezakeh b'chsav, but the husband does it in writing. Vav eina mezakeh el b'dvarim. And the father only does it by verbalizing. Now, only with words, sheinigni b'amir, because this is a kinyan with speaking. Now, it's an interesting thing. It's a tremendous machlokas here between the mefarshim. The Ritba says that means that it's better for the purpose of kinyan to actually verbalize. But even if all you did was just wrote it in the shtar, that's sufficient for a husband to commit himself in the ksuba. But the father actually has to not just write, commit in the tznoim on writing, but he has to actually verbalize, I'm committing X amount. Because verbalizing is a higher form of expression of intent than just writing. The other mefarshim, for example, the Shari Torah Seretz Yisrael and the Mashbiach, turn around the gears in the Gemara. And they say the exact opposite. They say that the father only needs verbalization, but the chassan actually needs writing down. Because on the mefarshim, that verbalization is not a better revelation of intent, but rather writing down is a greater crystallization of intent. So it's mamash major machlekes. What's a greater crystallization of intent, and who needs a greater crystallization? According to the Baz, a greater crystallization of intent is speaking. And it's the husband who needs, not the husband, it's the father of the bride who needs that greater degree, not the husband. According to the other question, it's the exact opposite. Writing is a greater crystallization of intent. And it's the husband who needs a greater level, not the father of the bride.
It comes down to which person do you trust less.
Right, which person you trust less. Who's more prone to be lying about this just to get the wedding greased, and working properly? Exactly.
So, when the verbalization is that.
You have to be cynical about it, though. Yes.
Is that with witnesses or without witnesses?
With witnesses.
And the writing is.
With witnesses. It's like we do today by the Tznoim. We write the Tznoim and then we read the Tznoim. Okay? The reading is like it's true, the chassan and the Kyle's father do not read it themselves, but the reading of the Tznoim is tantamount to what we're talking about here.
Okay?
At the wedding. It depends. Chassidim do it before the wedding. They do it when they're the engagement party usually. But the mistake to do it at the wedding itself.
At the wedding, they're already drunk.
Okay. It says more further. Tznoim are not essential, though. You don't need them. They're not essential. So. Okay. At the wedding. You could have a custom calligraphied ksuva. It's expensive. It's not worth it. It's almost the value of a ksuva. Okay. Tani. Kshem Shabbat. We just read. Let's wait a minute. Gilo B'Shem Ra. Hey, Chavida. How's it work? To specify verbally. Gilo B'Shem Ra. So this way it works. B'kama ato noisin levincha. How much you give me your son? Kach v'kach. You give me your daughter, kach v'kach. Came a chikicha that once the marriage takes place, zochzabe na bonus. Sorry, she gets that portion among all the other daughters. In other words, her whatever her father decided to give her, she gets it. Even though the other daughters might have been in line to get it, but she gets it. Now, it sounds like this is a chiddush. that even though she's the husband is the father is depriving his other daughters of this portion by giving it to this one daughter as the bride, nevertheless it works. It sounds like that's the Kiddush. Amar Chibayes says, Ashkach Gidul, I want to point out to you that the Mashbir points out the pun. There are a couple of puns on this page. It says here, Ashkach Gidul, which means the big one, Revisa, a bigger Kiddush. See, Gidul and Revisa are the same word, one Hebrew, one Aramaic. Umar Zirta, but he only said the smaller Kiddush. And the Gemara will explain what that is. El Kani. Rather, this is the way it should be, the Kiddush should be. Kama Teresa Bincha, Kach Vekach. How much you give your son, son, so much. For Kama Teresa Bincha, how much you give your daughter, Kach, Kach, son, so much. Came and Shekitcha once they got married. Zach Sabas Ben Abonos. The daughter gets what her father allotted her among his other daughters. That's not the Kiddush. That's the smaller Kiddush, Gemara says. The bigger Kiddush is Vaben Ben Abonim. And the son gets whatever he got among the boys. Now, it's not really even that's not exactly precisely the Kiddush that the son gets among the boys. And the Gemara says, but the Gemara assumes that that's a bigger Kiddush that the son gets because by the son's getting, he deprives the other brothers of what would have been their inheritance to Raisa, right? A daughter getting over other daughters, that's all the Rabbanans. So what if one daughter gets more than the other daughter? But if a son gets over other sons, that's more of a Kiddush, because that's a Dorai, impinges on the Dorai, so the proper pathway of inheritance. But name it says more of Rabbi Zeira. Omer Rabbi Zeira, here's another pun coming up. Rabbi Zeira, who of course means small one, said, V'hada Yizirta. This also is a small Kiddush. I got need to be a bigger Kiddush. You know what the bigger Kiddush is? Loanim to a koine isha, and it should be umetaltin with a vav. Bishave pruta. It says, when is this kinyan complete? At the moment of the wedding. So at the moment of the wedding, the son is acquiring not just the bride, but also what else?
Dowry.
So what is he paying for the bride and the dowry? Minimum. One pruta. But wait a minute, what part of that pruta is going for him to buy the dowry? So in effect, it should be that he's mekadesh the woman with less than a pruta. We know he can't be mekadesh the woman with less than a pruta. That's a big kiddush! To say that despite the fact that the pruta is being given both for the woman and the dowry, it's still considered to be entirely going for the woman and not for the dowry. That's the kiddush you should have said, right? Says the Gemara, learning to kone isha umetaldi mishav pruta, vena the kone shtei noshi mishav pruta, can't buy two women with a shav pruta, so how can you buy the woman and the metaldi mishav pruta? Says the Gemara, uma, it should be ma kain or ma bekach. It's the two different possibilities. It's really quite, they more at first doesn't understand the magnitude of the Kiddush. This morning says, big deal. Mabakach is like big deal. Who cares? Can't the person buy land and several metalklin as well, several mule objects with a shavah pruta? So what do you do? Buy the dowry and the woman with shavah pruta. So the Gemara says, you idiot! There's no limit to amount of property you can buy with shavah pruta, right? Because property is fungible. You can pay as little money for property as you desire, right? However, ve'ein adam koine shtei noshim mishavah pruta. The gzeres hakosev is you can't pay less than one pruta per woman. So therefore, and you can't be mekadesh two women with one pruta. So therefore, it's not a tremendous kiddush that you can acquire both the wife and the dowry with the shavah pruta. Okay? Right, Rabbi Achia, b'shem Rabbi Yochanan said. Back to the case again. Kama Tonaisa Min Khamach give your son, Kach Vikach, so and so much. Kama Tonaisa Min Khamach give your daughter, Kach Vikach, so and so much. Came at Shekitcha, once he married her, as long as marriage went through, Zachas Abbas made a bonus, the daughter gets whatever she was promised by her father, by Ben Ben Abbas, and the son gets whatever he was promised. But here's the catch. And Mr. Zuger, it's not going to work for you. You don't have parents anyway, right? But theoretically. So the first time around. It was the first time around, the parents of the bride, the parents of the groom were so excited to see the marriage take place, they're willing to throw in their hook, line, and sinker. Throw the kitchen sink at the young couple. Second time around already, it's not as chashuv already. They're not so keen to be mocking their thing. Just by verbal declaration.
They lost their shirt from the first chasana.
What?
The parents lost their shirt.
Well, yeah, that's true. Now, the Amudi Yerushalayim at the bottom asked if this is true only by a son. That's just the first time around. Even by a daughter, you only commit the first time around. Because the daughter will see it on the base. It's more likely you're going to give her even the second daughter. It's the way it is. You give your daughters more than your sons. Also, the Ritbaz brings down here that the poskim say that it's also. We'll see it in our base. We'll watch it. We'll see now. So, David says more. Besides, goes kai damar chinita. This also goes like Rabbi Chanina said. Chinita said, "Amesis benoba bais." This is also brought down the Bavli. If somebody marries his son off in a house, this is why do we make chuppas in hotels nowadays? Says if you make a chuppah for your kid in your house, zocha bebayis, the kid gets the house. Never get a kid married at home. Uvami Yisushon, only the first marriage. And again, the question is, does that mean the first marriage on the kid's part, or the first marriage that the parents are making, right? Tanya Rabbi Yisho said, zocha metatli, no. He gets all the furniture, but lo zocha bebayis, but not the house itself. Says more Apoli, is there a machlokas here? No, says more, there's no machlokas. If the house looks like it should go to the kid, it should go to the kid. This is a case of there's extenuating circumstances which indicate that the father would not want to give the house to the kid. What is extenuating circumstances? Rabbi Yirmiyahu Sherebo said the potter, so I'm not sorrow shall love him. This is his father's warehouse. So therefore, logic dictates he doesn't really want to give the house to the kid. Because it's very useful for him. So now I can say he's just giving the house, I mean not the house, he's just giving the contents of the house to the kid. Okay? Says the Rabbi Chizkiah, Rishem Rabbi Shem Levi said, L'chein tzricha. This we got to ask. Afilu shalom and ashuk, what if the furniture was borrowed? Not yet paid for. Does that go to the son too? Aravo said, V'amar, I'm a little Shayla. It depends what he said. If he told, now it's not clear who he's saying this to. If he's saying it to the guy from whom we borrowed the furniture, or he's saying it to his son, could work either way. I'm a little Shayla. If he said to the, let's try it first with the owner. He said to the owner from which he borrowed the came, I'm only borrowing them. So let lo zochabem, then the son doesn't get them. Or the alternative is that if he said to the son, son, I only borrowed them, then it doesn't go to the son. But if he didn't say, I only borrowed them, and again, either to the son or to the owner, so then he really means for the son to acquire them, and he's going to go and pay the owner from which he borrowed them the sum of their value later on. Okay? Asa uvdo kumi Rabbi Yaakov bar Rabbi Bun. A case came for Rabbi Yaakov Rabbi Boon. For only Rabbi Boon, he passed me like Rabbi Avo, who said it depends on whether he said they're borrowed or not. Says, Rabbi Zir got very upset at this. He says, Ikara, Lesle, Tim Yulusim. The foundation, this halacha, has no. The root of this halacha has no foundation. That's what I really mean to say. In other words, this whole concept that you give your son the house, or you give your son the gift without any kinyan, has no foundation in halacha. This is unprecedented. For Rabbanan Bani V'Salkan Halacha, and the rabbis are building even higher stories on this house. That depends if he said it's the furniture is borrowed, not borrowed. This is a tremendous chidushin. The truth is, he's right. I mean, he was complaining, but I'm not sure if he actually would disagree. What he's really saying is that all these halachas, the Bavli calls them, hilchos abalot taima. So halacha is without any inherent reason in halacha. The rabbis just made this takana because they saw this is what people wanted and were doing. Okay? What were you about to say before?
No. I was going to ask, where did they make the sub from? Why does the sun get it?
Right. So the answer is, they don't have to tell you where they made it up from.
But
yeah.
This is halacha maisa in Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah, with the apartments and stuff. Sure. Right.
Is it the fathers?
They split them. 50-50. Usually. Okay, it says a word further. At Omer, at Pesach de Bito. You said a father gives his kid, his daughter. I feel against the truth, even if she's an old maid. She's over 12 and a half. Does he also throw the store at her? Let's remember here. It says, our place a guy debito. Says the father gives money to his daughter. The lo yishai debito, however, not a mother to a daughter. V'lachi de'achosa, nor a brother to a sister. Says, in the negative, Shani Achosa Benchi Nara Benchi Bogeres, it is a distinction by his sister, whether she's still 12, or under 12 and a half, over 12 and a half. Because, so to hear, when you do give the positive, Lo Shani Benchi Nara Benchi Bogeres, whether she's a Nara Bogeres, it makes no difference, she gets the money nevertheless. Okay? In other words, the father wants to be mocked there, it's nikta by mira. You don't actually need to have a kinyan. Okay? Says where Rabbi Bob is kartigna, kartingana. Boy asked, afilu, and now it should be here according to Ridbaz, acheres. And I'm going to look like Ridbaz. Not acher, but acheres. What about the second daughter? Remember I told you, Rabbi Alf, it's the first marriage for the parents. And the first marriage, because the son's first marriage, right? But that's by a son. What about by a daughter? Does he give his second daughter what he gave his first daughter? I mean, they said, I feel a bogeres acheres. Even if the second girl is also an old maid, he still gives her a dowry and only has to verbalize it. Yishmini medah. And I'll prove it to you from here, the same case. How place a guy debito? It says the father gives his daughter. Below he saw I debito, not his daughter, a mother on her daughter. Vlachay deachosa, nor a brother on a sister. So it says the Gemara. Again, there's no distinction drawn. Under 12 and a half, over 12 and a half, and therefore, koshken, it follows certainly logically, acheres than another one, right? In other words, that, If he's giving his, I'm not sure why it's a kosher game. It's a kavachomer, but I don't know what the kavachomer is. I haven't said hu adin. Same thing, acheres. But here it says kosher game. I'm not sure exactly what it's a kavachomer. Says more aflamidas adin. Okay. What about an question mishpat? Is it like this as well? Now, some people learn this as a question. Some people learn this as a statement. I'm going to learn like a question. But Avlamidas Adinke, the question is, what about Chosh and Mishpat? Do I say the same thing? Meaning, Tain beat Cholaploini. Now, although this looks like an Ebenezer case, don't be fooled. This is not an Ebenezer case. This is not the same as our case before. I say, Tain beat Cholaploini, give your daughter, not my daughter. My daughter, of course, I'm willing to be mocked by Mira. What if I say, give your daughter to so-and-so? I'll give you the father, kach v'kach, so much money. Not the daughter, the father. And not the father giving to the daughter, but a third party. Similarly, kach saw the plenty. Take so-and-so field. Buy it. And I'll give you so much money. Does that work also by Mira? Or do you need a kinyan there? And the more it doesn't answer. But my hunch is that you would need a kinyan there. Because that special preciousness which smooths over the transaction vis-a-vis your daughter or your son, I don't think it exists when I say, go marry off your daughter to so-and-so, and I'll give you so-and-so much money.
It's a third party,
right. And it's more, that already makes it, as I said, chesh and mishpat as opposed to Ebenezer. It's a business transaction as opposed to a love transaction. Okay?
Love is thicker than water.
What?
Love is thicker than water.
Right, blood is thicker than water, right. Okay, says more further. Kini Masdisa. There's a way to learn our Mishnah. Shelo sifla el mishil chibas laila rishayna shabal. It said in our Mishnah, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that you only give her the extra money because you want to have relations with her. At least then, there are other reasons as well, right? You know, because you want it to be your wife. You want it to be so-and-so, son-in-law. You want it to be that she won't fuck you for a divorce. Yeah, okay, but all those reasons are true. But the question is whether we just both took one of those reasons, but really we want to go use this as a springboard for the further discussion. What about Baal? You had a relationship. Girsha, you divorced her. Because the day you took her back again. Did she get the same Hadassuva? Well, now she's used good. She's a has-been. She's watched up. So the second time around, you give less of a ksuva. That's the worst question, right? So it says, Bar the Girsha Bichzira, Vadayin Chibas Lailu Yishona Kayemis. No. He still remembers that first night. He still has that romantic inclination, and he still is liable to give the full ksuva, the whatever he promised. Okay? But what if he died? I mean, he had relations first, sorry. And Umeis, he died. Fadafel is a Yovam. Now she's a Yovam, right? What does the Yovam have to give her? The original husband, he dropped in. He's not giving her the Ksuva. So does the Yovam have to give the Gemara? It's the same thing? Says more, yes. Adai Chivasayu Shodakayemes. Even though the Yovam is another person, but still, the original obligation is... I think so. I think we did. Yeah, we did. Okay, Rabbi Akash Shem Chizkiah said, hello, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that you only get the extra amount above the 100 and 200 if you got full marriage nisuin. Okay? Shamari said, Yisamro and Yisgashim and Eirusin, if the widowship or divorce occurred after the betrothal only, Graven Masayimin Nisuin, so I go from a sign, she only gets 200. I mean, so if it's after the full marriage, then Gravis Sokosha gets everything. Okay? So, Rabbi Chayna Malo, Rabbi Loz Ben Azariah as well. Amar, it says Abai, but Abai cannot appear in the Bali Yushami, according to most opinions. And then they change it to Rabbi Yanai. I'm Rabbi Yanai. I'm Rabbi Chayna, they said to Rabbi Chanina, who passed Rabbi Loz Ben Azariah, oh boy, did they insult him, they said. Tseukra. Top of the next page, Mr. Zuger. Tseukra. Go out and lean. Rabbi Chanina was a Baal Kore. He was called someplace the Rabbi Chanina Kora. And they said, you want to pass the Elizabeth Azariah? You are a Baal Kore. You are not a place. Keep your nose out of Psaka Locha. Okay?
Stick to your day job.
Stick to your day job, right. Cesar Rabbi Rabbi Zir, son Omar. And Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Zira and Rabbi Yosef said, it should be Eina Loch Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Yeah, Loch is not Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. That's why they said to Rabbi Chanina, stick to your day job, right? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Zira, Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Zira, which is Rabbi Yehuda's son, Omar, he said, it should be Haloch Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Loch is a Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Omar Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef said, Simon Hayalon, we had a Simon. Now I know what the Simon is, it doesn't say what the Simon is, but we had a way of remembering. The Chizki Rabbi Yonis on Shtei Mamru Dover Echon. Chizki Rabbi Yonis both said the same thing, which is that Halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. That was because there's a machlokas here, what Rabbi Yonis said. One version of Rabbi Yonis on it, Rabbi Zir named Rabbi Yonis said that Halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the way I changed the Girsa. Rabbi Yonis and Rabbi Zir named Rabbi Yonis said, the way I changed the Girsa, Halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So Rabbi Yonis said, they had a simon to know, I don't know what the simon was, that Chizki and Rabbi Yonis both said the same thing, which is that Halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Maybe that was the simon. The simon was that we may know that Chizki and Rabbi Yonis said the same thing. So everyone must see that Rabbi Yonis holds that Halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Okay? Period. Now it says here Ditani, but the Shartars is so changed it to Tani, which very often have in Shami. It's really a new issue. It's related though. Mishloach Benom Dinesayam. His son went to Chutzlars. Vishamalev Shemesi heard that he died there. So what did he do? Nebuch, he died. Vamad because of Kon the Chas of Lacher. You signed over all the property to somebody else. Because you thought you were, I guess he was only your son. Your only son. So you thought he was dead, so he signed over your property. But then the son materializes again. He ends up back in town. Matnasa Kayemis. The gift is sustained. It's a valid gift. Right? Why? Tough on you. You should have, once you gave a gift, the gift is a gift. Can't look a gift, or no, that's not the right term. But you can't renege on the gift. Can't be an Indian giver, that's what it was. Once you gave the gift, you can't renege. Rabbi Shimon says, Ein matnas kayemis. No, the gift is not a valid gift. It does not work. Why is that? Illogically, if he had known his son was alive, Lawyer Clayson, he wouldn't have given him, he wouldn't have given the gift to somebody else. Right. But so it's like a mekachtos, but there's no, the tatakamos, mekachtos is when you buy something under mistaken impression, but not when you give a gift. There he holds, there's no consequence on giving a gift to mekachtos. Anyway, Umar Rabbi Yaakov Barach, Rabbi Yaakov said, how long is Rabbi Yaakov ben Azariah? Hello, sir. Good luck, sir. Isaiah. For years, Rabbi Elazar and Isaiah, and Rabbi Shimon ben Asya. Rabbi Elazar ben Isaiah and Rabbi Shimon ben Asya are the same thing. How so? Interesting svara. Explained it by the Mefarshim. Rabbi Elazar ben Isaiah, it doesn't say in the Ksuba, I'm giving you 200 for the betrothal and the extra money for the full marriage. We reckon that. It's our logic that indicates that he only wanted to give her the extra money for the full marriage and not for the betrothal, right? It's logical, right? But it doesn't say in the Ksuba, but it's our logic. The same thing here, in the gift, it doesn't say, I'm only giving you the money because my son, you know, is no longer here, right? But it's a logic that we understand. So the intuitive logic which we follow is the underlying reason for Elizabeth Azariah and Hashem Nasi. So you pass it like one, he says, you pass it like the other as well, okay? The next couple lines we take out. The Shari Teresel checks and takes out. They're really repetitious of the top. And the punchline is the last seven words before the next Mishnah. V'chei nafak uvdok Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The halacha l'maisa came Elazar ben Azariah that the extra money she only gets if they came to full marriage. Right, the truth is, this is as far as I prepared. I didn't expect to get any further. No. We can go another couple of minutes. Gain some ground. I really should look up how far behind we are. Rabbi Amar. We'll see if we can wing a dumb and base. Yeah. I'm a little bit nervous about winging a dumb and base. Because I see it's a long repos. All right, let's not. I'll give you a break since you're both dumb and marv anyway. That's the way Yerushalmi should be. Two blot. Chick chock.
Yeah.
Not too many messed up
pieces. No. Excuse me?
Finish
means a novel idea.